The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, this is Andy from Toronto, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. Your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 423 of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show, back a couple of weeks from her trip to Europe, England, is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Doctor.
Hello, Mike. 423. You don't look a day over 422 to me.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. What I'd like to do...
We're missing our buddy Chris.
Chris has had a very busy week, hasn't he?
Oh, well, yes. Yeah, so he's on Seth Meyers' show, Seth from New Hampshire. And he did a great job teaching Seth how to draw... Mm-hmm. Donald Trump. That was interesting. Very orange. And he met Berkeley Breathed, I guess is the way to say his name, the illustrator of Bloom County, which is one of my favorites growing up.
Where did he meet him?
At Comic-Con, I think, right. In New York.
So Chris is resting after such a long weekend.
Yeah, we'll have signing him back all those autographs.
We're going to see if we can get him to talk about what it's like to be on a late night show.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But first and foremost, it's time for Michelle's Showdown.
Woohoo! So I have two groups of people, nobody specific, but two groups of people. There are folks who did the Hartford Half Marathon, some Mickey Milers, and also a whole bunch of people on the team who did the Chicago Marathon and cheered for the Chicago Marathon. So shout out to all those people. Yay!
It's tip time with Mike.
You can tell how heavily produced we are.
So my thoughts today is on when you first arrive at a theme park, but I'm going to focus on the Magic Kingdom. When you arrive at the Magic Kingdom, you have two sets of security checks, one on the right, one on the left. My suggestion is, regardless of which one you go, go to either the leftmost or the rightmost security guard, because in many cases, guests
think... You mean as opposed to going in the middle?
Yeah, don't go in the middle. Okay. So if you've got four guards on the right and four guards on the left, you want to go to the one the furthest right, furthest left. I'll tell you why. Most guests will think it's one line, but it's really two lines. So you'll see one line much shorter than all the rest, and you'll get through security much faster if you take that tip.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I also want to give an extra shout out, or I just wanted to mention something I think is important, is that we are so happy that the Hurricane Matthew went through, and the people who we know, I'm sure that there were power outages and some damage, but sounds like everybody's okay. It was very stressful, and a rare occurrence happened at Walt Disney World.
I think, if my memory serves correct, it was only the fourth time in the history of Walt Disney World that a day occurred where there was no opening for the park.
Right. So they closed on Friday, right?
Yes, I think the other... two of the other three were because of weather, and one was because of something that happened about 15 years ago.
Yeah. You mean the closings?
The closings, yeah. Yes.
So SeaWorld closed, Universal Studios closed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was impressive event. So anyway, I'm glad it wasn't as bad as was predicted.
You know, it was interesting, Michelle. I shared this on Facebook that I believe that the Columbus Day weekend was the weekend that we would normally be there for the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror 10-miler. So
yeah.
It's kind of interesting that Disney dodged a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Run Disney dodged a bullet. Dodged the hurricane, you might say.
Yeah, that might have been interesting, though.
Yeah.
Running in a hurricane.
All right.
All right. What's up for today?
Well, we're trying to catch up on some questions and comments, and so we're going to try to get right up to up to where we are with them all. And let's start off with our first question. Michelle, why don't you read the first question?
Sure.
From Deanna Young.
Deanna Young. So she says, "Hi, Mike, Michelle, and Chris. First of all, I love this podcast. We love you, Deanna. Thank you for all the work that you put into it. I wanted to send a quick message and follow up to your Run Disney deferral podcast. My husband and I just did the Dumbo Double Dare, my first half marathon, no less. And at the expo, there was a booth for the Walt Disney Travel Company, apparently now the official travel company of Run Disney, which makes sense. During their spiel, they made a specific point of saying that if people book through them, they offer travel insurance that will also cover the cost of the race if you needed to cancel, since Run Disney no longer does refunds or deferrals. I didn't think to ask how much or the terms. Maybe this is the way Run Disney is planning to move forward. Anyway, thought you'd be interested to know. Looking forward to a review of the Disneyland half weekend." We didn't do one, but my husband and I both thought it was much better than the Tinkerbell in terms of theming or characters. Thank you, Deanna. So, you know, I'm so glad that you wrote about this. If anybody else has any more information, we would love to hear it. One of the questions that I have, Mike, is that a travel agent like Becky Mankin and MEI Mouse Fan Travel, they work with, you know, clearly they do their reservations with the Walt Disney Company. Can they offer that sort of a thing, too? I don't know.
That's a good question. It may be offered only through the the Walt Disney Travel Company.
Right, right.
I'm going to stop this for a second.
Okay.
Well, I've looked on the Walt Disney Travel Company site. I can't find anything regarding Run Disney or insurance. I think that another place I would look would be the Run Disney site, and I did, and I haven't found anything. So
I think they're hiding it.
Yeah, I believe we may have something else further in this podcast that talks about race insurance. So we'll talk about that when we get to it. Yeah. Our next question comes from Alana Gideon. And Alana says, "Hello, all. I will be participating in my very first Run Disney race when I do the 5K on marathon weekend. Congratulations, Alana. The race is on my 36th birthday, so I wanted to celebrate by going to 1900 Park Fair for breakfast. My mom is doing the race also, and I was planning on bringing clothes to change into after the race so we wouldn't have to leave the parks. So with that being said, do you think we will have enough time to make it to our reservations at 9:30 a.m.?" All right, let's stop there, Michelle. What do you think? 5K and a 9:30 reservation at 1900 Park Fair.
All right, so the first thing that I'm thinking, Alana, is that since this is your first 5K, and you didn't tell us how fast you're going, we're going to assume that you're walking. All right, so let's say you're walking your 5K, and the minimum speed that you need to go is 16 miles per hour. So that is going to be, 48 minutes. All right. So we're doing some heavy duty math here. So then, but that's not the only thing. So say the race starts at 5:30, and let's just say 6 for the sake of argument. It starts at 6. And you are in the last corral. Typically, they've had about 5 corrals, so that's going to add another 25 minutes onto your time. So let's just say, for just the sake of argument, by the time you find your mom, we're going to say it's 2 hours for you to start and complete your 5K. So that means 8 o'clock to me. So I think at the very latest, unless there's something that we're not thinking about, you're going to finish at 8 o'clock, which would leave you plenty of time to get there by 9:30. Mike?
Of course, the question is, how are they going to get there? And that's part of her second half of the question, which Lana says, what would be the quickest way to get to the Grand Floridian from Epcot? Car, monorail, or bus? The rest of my family is meeting us at the restaurant, so I don't want to be late. I love the podcast, and thank you very much. Alana. Well, if that was me, and I had a 9:30 reservation, I think you're right, Michelle. I think if you left at 8, I think you'd be able to get there. I would go the monorail. Mm-hmm. I would get my medal and immediately go to the monorail or a bus. If possible, I would probably go with the bus instead of the monorail because it goes directly. If you go to the monorail, you have to change at the ticket and transportation center.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But when you do change at the ticket and transportation center, when you do get on the resort monorail and you get off at the Grand Floridian, you just walk in, go downstairs, and you're right there at 1900 Park Fair.
Mm-hmm.
So, Alana, I think that I think I would not. I don't know, Michelle, do you agree that the car would be like the third? I don't know about the car. I mean, you could, but I guess it depends upon where you're parking.
You and I are all about the rental car, but here is a case where you have two options that are going to take you right to the front door of the Grand Floridian. So the monorail is you have to do a part one and part two, but it's continuous. So I actually think that I would take the monorail, even though you're going all the way over, to the ticket and transportation center, and then you have to get on the monorail to get to the Grand Floridian. I think bus or monorail.
It's really hard to say. It depends upon where you park.
I vote monorail. You vote bus?
I would say bus first, mm-hmm. monorail second, car third. If it was me, I might take a shot with the car, but, that's me.
Mm-hmm. I think you would take it. I think you'd be all about the car. But
yeah, I think I could get there within an hour.
So here's another question that I have for
Alana.
It doesn't
answer the question.
My other question would be, where is your car going to be? Are you staying at the Grand Floridian? Because if you are staying there, then it's a no-brainer. Take the monorail, take the bus. If your car is somewhere else, you're going to have to get to your car or get back to the resort again. So you're going to have to get back to the ticket and transportation center, right? And then take another bus to wherever your car is, back to your resort, right? So
yeah, it depends upon how they go to the race.
You might be tired after your 5K. So now I'm leaning towards the car.
Her family may be dropping them off at the race.
Yes.
And then driving over.
Mm-hmm.
When you get finished with the race, it's not that far of a walk to the monorail. I mean, it's a little bit further to the bus, and, you have to wait for the monorail, but this is really a tough one. I don't know what to say. There's so many factors. I think if it was me, if it was you and me and we were going to 1900 Parkview, see, when you park, though, you have to park across the street on that road is called. You have to park, and then you have to walk from the parking lot, and so, I mean, that's time that...
All right, I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to say the car. There are certain unknowns here. So I'm going to say the car, take the car to the race, and then just you'll have plenty of time to get back to the car and go over. You can park at the Grand Floridian because you have a reservation there, and you'll just have to walk across the street. Maybe you can drop your mom off. And then park the car and walk across the street. After your lovely lunch or breakfast, then you just go in the car and go back to your resort.
Yeah, if this was a Saturday or Sunday with the half of the full, I'd say no way. I wouldn't even suggest going.
Because
I would
there'll
say
still
monorail.
Be runners. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but this won't be the case.
I do know that on race weekend that they have much more. They really stock up on the buses. And they really stock up on making sure that the monorail is running as quickly and as frequently as possible because they really encourage everybody, including the runners, to use the transportation. So I'm going to stick with bus, Michelle, first, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, she'll have to report back and tell us what she chose and why and what worked. All right, so the next question is from our buddy Chris Trawick. And Chris says, after Michelle, with two L's, Chris, read my comment on the most recent podcast episode, I wanted to include the details regarding Active.com and their race insurance. So Chris provides the direct link and the details, and we're going to dig right in and explore it, and we'll put this in the show notes, Mike. Yes?
Sure.
So Active.com says, this is called Registration Protector. So it says, Active.com offers your participants the option of purchasing Registration Protector when they register for an event. So, Mike, this is for people who are setting up an account, I guess, in Active.com. So Registration Protector ensures a participant's full registration fees for covered reasons without any financial risk. So what I'm seeing is that if you are setting up a race, you can do this, and it's $7. So for race directors who are setting up a race, they can pop the option of $7 more onto the race fee. But to me, this means it's not something that people can opt to do. It has to be something that's set up within the registration when the person...
Yeah, I had a conversation with someone about this, and they had seen something like this. I hadn't gone to this site, but they had said that it would have to be Run Disney who would agree to this. And obviously they have not, because they want their travel company to... they want you to book through their travel company, which is just another money grab. Thank you, Chris, for sending this. And this. So what I want to say, Michelle, is I would like to say to everybody who's listening out there, I would say, would you consider writing to Run Disney? I think I will. I'm going to write to Run Disney and point this out to them and say, would you be so kind as to offer this for our participants? And we would look forward to it. You know, and you know,
for future races, for to future have races. This registration protector.
I am, and I would also put a preface on that. I would say I am reconsidering my future running plans with Run Disney, and due to things that have happened in the past, I am somewhat cautious because I don't want to endanger my running funds. Blah blah blah. I would like you to consider becoming interested in doing this registration protector, and we will put the link on the show notes so that everybody can say this is where it is.
So I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. So are you considering not doing races because of this? I don't know that I could say that, because to me that would be an idle threat, and I'm not sure.
They don't care. They don't care if you or I don't run, Michelle.
I don't know. I just think that. I mean, what are you saying that you would consider? You have to. I would say that a way to say it is I would think twice about whether or not I need to register, or can register, because the running race fees may be in jeopardy.
That ship has sailed.
Yeah.
Since the deferral policy changed without knowledge, and mm-hmm. we had all that firestorm going on, mm-hmm. I haven't registered for another race. I haven't.
But you weren't planning on it either.
Well, there was a possibility of the Avengers. There was a possibility of Tinkerbell next year. There's a whole possibility of things, but I have not registered yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. I don't need Run Disney as much as they need me. I need us, right? So they need to think about their guests. They need to think about their clientele. They need to think about what kind of financial commitment is made by each runner. So why not offer this? I don't know what... I guess the question would be how much this registration protector would cost them.
Yeah, and I guess my point is that you get more flies with honey instead of vinegar, and I would... Even though one may feel strongly about it and can write a strongly worded letter, I don't know. Personally, I wouldn't say, I'm not doing any more races.
No. And anyway, I think we've got
and if it weren't for you kids.
We've got a good Michelle, bad Michael, good cop, bad cop thing.
Good
going
runner,
here.
Bad runner.
Well, you know, I'm not saying, I'm just saying that, you know, I think that it's important for Run Disney to understand how this deferral policy or non-deferral policy or just just giving them money without any recourse if something happens. I think they know how important it is to all of us. Mm-hmm. We're not made of money, and I think, you know, they need to know I have only so much money that I can set aside to do races, and a big chunk of that would be Run Disney because it's the travel, it's the hotel, it's the tickets, it's everything. So they need to consider that, and so I think that it's worthwhile having some kind of a writing campaign to let them know.
You know? So, you know, I'm just thinking that a way to look at this is when you do a Disney cruise, you have certain soft deadlines. So you have a hard deadline, which is at this date you need to have 100% or 50% of your deposit in, or you have to have all of it in this date. So maybe you sign up and then you have some time to back out as the race stays open, because it makes me sign up for a cruise where I would like to go and my intention is to go and I have the place saved, but if something comes up and I can't do it, I can back out. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but also on a cruise you can have trip insurance too.
All I can say is that, Michelle, while you were away, Chris and I talked about the race registrations and how they've dropped compared to a year ago.
And the number of people signing up.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the number how registrations are open up to a week from the time they open up registrations. And also, what's also very interesting are the number of finishers for the races. And you have to go back a year to start tracking it. And it's obvious that the race deferral policy has a lot to do with that. So having some kind of insurance, I think, is good for everybody.
Hmm. I'm sure this conversation is not over. So we need some more questions, Mike.
Yes, we do. And we hope that everyone would send their questions to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. Or actually, you can also put them on our Facebook page. So for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying, we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.